strange signal interference. If this is Forerunner, Cade said, pausing to glance at Rione, then who the hell is down there? Good question. Let's find out. Rione slipped inside the building. A few steps in, a blue beam swept over her and Cade. Immediately after, the floor lit up with a blue-white light filling in glyphs and patterns in the floor, and forming a path that led them inside to a center console that glowed more brightly than anything in the area. Must have tripped a sensor, Cade said from behind her. The room was smaller than she imagined, a circular space with a massive central column, and two corridors leading off into darkness on either side. But it was the console that drew her. It was clearly made for a being taller than the average human. The display contained more strange symbols and shapes, pulsing blue and oddly hypnotizing. Her attention snagged on a domed pad with the outline of what looked like a hand. Her fingers twitched. She reached up. Cade grabbed her wrist. What are you doing? His grip was firm and unyielding. For just the briefest of moments, she wanted to fight him, to jerk her arm away and slap her hand on that pad. I don't know. What was she doing? The sensation passed, leaving her curious and a little shaken. She searched Cade's face, trying to ascertain if he was similarly affected. You don't want to touch it? His mouth twitched, and he gave her the drollest look she'd ever seen. There were a million ways he could have responded, and she had to give the man credit, because he said none of them, though his eyes crinkled good-naturedly at the corners, and his grin was blinding. Rione tried to suppress her smile. Cade could tease and flirt with the best of them, but he was never crude, never showed her disrespect in front of the crew, and that went a long way in her estimation. Warmth spread through her, and there were those possibilities again, rising up fresh and hopeful. Not the time. Later, though. Maybe later. With a shake of her head, she tabled the humor and distraction, turning back to the room, noting the two passageways on the left and right of the central column. The walls weren't lit, but the floor leading down the passages glowed with glyphs. Right or left? She asked. Guys, get out of there, Nico shouted. Get out of there now! Shit! There's a ship. It's been inside the barrier this whole time, behind the ruins. Must have been in stealth. It's powering up! It's a Covenant war freighter, Kip said in a clipped voice. Same SIG as the one on Laconia. Anger rose hot inside her. Damn it. We were tagged. She replied, Ram Chalva's warning ringing in her head. Gek'lar had followed them to the debris field, and while they took their sweet time being cautious, she'd inadvertently given the Sangheili a 2-hour advantage to settle in and get to the goods before she did. And now, they were about to be ambushed. What should we do? Lessa's panic threaded through each word. Take off? What? What do you want me to do? Have they locked on?
No. But they had to have seen us.
Wait, it's locking on! It's locking on! Get that ramp up, engage shields, and fly, Rione instructed in a firm tone. Use the debris field as cover. Cade was ahead of her as they ran for the door. Go now, Les, he ordered. I'll lay down cover. He cleared the building. Warfreighter is up and over the backside of the ruins. I've got them in sight.
Life sign on your six,
Nico shouted as Rione was suddenly grabbed from behind, lifted off her feet and thrown back into the room. Shock stole her breath as she went airborne and then slammed into the central console. Pain exploded through her back. Whiplash wrenched her neck. Dear God! Her vision went fuzzy and her stomach turned as she tried to rise. Her hands flattened on the console in an attempt to push off. The entire panel flared to life, blue illuminating every pattern and glyph. With a groan, Rione slid off the console and hit the floor. The stomp, stomp, stomp of armored feet on flagstone echoed in the space like thunder. She lifted her head and saw the air warble before a 2.5-meter Sangheili appeared out of thin air. Stealth tech. No wonder he'd caught them all off guard. This had to be Geklar. It was the same hinge head she'd seen through her binoculars on Laconia. His shoulders were hunched, his bare arms thick and long, hands clenching and unclenching as though he was already squeezing the life out of her. Warnings fired through her brain, some primitive part urging for flight, not fight. Rion ignored the hot, aching flares throughout her back and neck, and straightened to edge around the console. Escape lay between her and the alien. Moving slowly toward one of the dark passageways, she tried to angle toward the exit, hoping he'd track her movement and turn enough so that she could listen to that urge to run and hopefully slip past him. Against an 8-foot-tall, 300-plus-pound former Covenant commander, running was definitely her best option. Rion's calm erupted with the crew's shouts and Cade's orders. A loud explosion echoed from beyond the walls and shook the ground. She knew that sound. Cade had tossed a frag grenade or two, providing distraction and cover for Ace. The debris field was a good place to play hide-and-seek. Lessa had become a damn good pilot, and with Nico and Kip providing support, they'd be fine. Rion, on the other hand. As Gek moved, a bright flash on his shoulder harness caught her eye. Oh, hell. Were those dog tags? Fear slid, cold and icy, beneath her skin. She pulled her sidearm from her holster and the Sangheili warrior threw back his head, his four mandibles spreading wide, and issued what sounded like laughter, the sound guttural and deep and full of confidence. His disdain for an insignificant human female and her weapons shone in his amused gray eyes with a ferocious glee. Well, shit, Rion muttered. And then he moved another step, allowing her to see what hovered behind him. And that, sure as hell, changed things. It was a luminary. He'd found the luminary either on the radiant perception or here in the ruins. Damn it. Fear took a momentary back seat to her salvager's heart. She wanted it. Rion straightened her aching back and drew upon all the bravado she had left, no matter how false, and tilted her head. Been looking for one of those? The Sangheili's eyes narrowed to ghostly slits. His sonorous voice rang out in response. Translate, Rion said quietly. There was a 3-second delay as her earpiece played a computer-generated voice. How dare you defile the sanctuary of the gods? How dare you stand upon their foundations and look with unclean longing at their gifts? I shall find honor in ridding this holy structure of your human stench. He bleeds just like anything else, she told herself. Repeatedly. The console's light grew brighter. A disembodied voice suddenly filled the room, seeming to come from everywhere all at once. Reclaim her. Static stole the words that came next, but they were excited words, jubilant and relieved. You came, Reclaimer. Thank goodness you're here. Geklar glared at the console, the voice appearing to make him awed and furious at the same time. He leveled the deadly glare her way as though she had something to do with it. But then she supposed she had. She'd touched that damn hand scanner when the hinge head had tossed her into the console. She shrugged. Your fault, big guy. Not mine. His energy sword activated with a bright flash and a whoosh. Rion raised her M6 and fired at his unprotected head. Incredibly quick, he was already ducking to the right. One shot pinged off his chest harness, the other sailed just over his skull. Outside, Cade was still actively engaged. She had no idea how many ships and companions the Sangheili had with him, or what her own crew was dealing with outside the walls. "Unclean vermin," he growled as he moved toward her with surprising speed, drawing up short as two other Sangheili appeared from the dark passageway. "Go, brothers," he ordered them. "This will not take long." They ran for the door. Shit. Cade was just outside.
"Cade, you have incoming behind you. Lessa, swing around and provide support for Cade. And take out that war freighter already, will you?"
An explosion lit the entrance.
"No worries, Les. I got him," Cade said, breathing heavily. "Nothing like thermite in your face, eh, boys? I'm running low on surprises and options here. Ace, how you guys doing up there?"
Nico's whoop came through the comms.
"Now I know why you love this ship."
"We're picking up 4 in the warfreighter and 3 on the ground," Kip said.
"Make that 1 left on the ground," Cade said.
"I'm on my way, Forge."
It only took Rion a half second to realize. Geklar's back was to the entrance now, his energy sword casting an eerie glow. Cade was running in blind.
"No, wait! Cade! Don't!"
she shouted, surging forward in a desperate attempt. But Cade was already inside, and Gek was already turning. Cade saw what was going to happen, and couldn't stop it. With a split-second moment of clarity and ingenuity, he slid the bag of grenades across the floor toward Rion as the energy sword plunged effortlessly through his chest. With a scream of horror, Rion ran, leapt on a console, and from there jumped on the Sangheili's back. She stuck the muzzle of her M6 against his skull and fired at the same moment he struck her on the side of his head with his forearm. The bullet sliced across his left eye and ricocheted off his chest armor. Gek roared as blood spilled from the wound. He reached up with both hands, grabbed Rion by the shoulders, and slung her over his head. She hit the wall and felt a stinging snap in her lower back. Nausea and pain rolled through her, one sickening wave after another. But she pushed on, shocked and horrified, crawling over to the bag of grenades. Inside, nothing but a flashbang and a frag. A frag would kill them all, and a flashbang wouldn't accomplish much because she didn't intend to cause a distraction and run. She wasn't leaving Cade. Panting heavily, she gritted her teeth and forced herself to stand, unable to stop the groan of hurt that tore from her throat. A cold sweat covered her skin. Her vision wavered. The pain shooting down her legs was unbearable. The Sangheili leaned over and ripped Cade's dog tags from his neck. Then he canted slightly in her direction, thick indigo blood running down the left side of his face as he bared his nasty, pointed, blood-covered teeth, his jaws vibrating. The hate in that one good eye burned hot and sparked inside her a cold, deadened rage. She lifted the grenade. The disembodied voice stopped its incessant chattering to say, "An explosion of that magnitude would..." Rion ignored it completely. She knew exactly what the frag would do. And so did Geklar. There was no mercy left inside her. No sense of self-preservation, no fear, just a dazzling need for retribution. It built inside, bristling and biting. Her eyes stung hot with unshed tears, but she never looked away, never gave the murderous creature the satisfaction. She wanted him to see the lengths to which she was willing to go. She lifted the grenade higher and flicked the safety. They stared at each other for a long, tense moment. She'd do it if he took one goddamn step. He glanced at the luminary, his hesitation clear. He wanted the fight, but that device, to him a sacred relic, was more important than running the risk of damage. To him, it was more important than anything else. With an evil glint in his one good eye, he hooked Cade's dog tags on his shoulder to hang with the others, sneered at her, then stepped over Cade's body and maneuvered the luminary out the door. Rione heard the crew's voices in her comm, but they were just background noise now. Everything was background noise. Everything. But Cade. XVII. Forerunner Ruin, Debris Field, Uncharted Space. The pain in Rione's back rolled over her in nasty waves. Bile rose in her throat as she sank to her knees and crawled to Cade's side. His hands were on his chest, the massive wound having been cauterized by the effects of the plasma sword. His breath was shallow, coming in small, faint wisps. His eyes were dazed, unfocused and blinking, as though he were trying desperately to stay lucid with every blink. "Cade." Her voice broke as he turned his head. His hand flailed, searching for her. She grabbed it and held tight. Quickly, she examined the gaping wound, wanting to do something, to ease his pain, to fix it. But it was too late. There was nothing she could do. He squeezed, and her attention returned to his pale face. Emotion swam among tears as he stared at her with a vague smile. He went to speak, but blood bubbled up, choking him instead. His throat worked, trying to swallow it down.
"Shh, you don't have to. It's okay, Forge,"
he forced out.
"Guess it wasn't so easy after all."
His eyelids fluttered. Rione's hand tightened and she leaned over him.
"Cade, no,"
she cried, cheek to cheek, tears falling hot from her eyes.
"It's okay,"
he barely whispered. She lifted her head. His eyes were closed now. His shaking ceased. His body went quiet. "Nico," Rione managed, as raw fury lit a path through every nerve in her body. "Unload everything we have on that ship."
"Way ahead of you, boss,"
he said, his voice angry and broken. The crew's communications faded into the background. Rione registered it all, a small part of her keeping track as Ace pursued the Covenant warfreighter after it had swept in to pick up Gek'lar and the subsequent chase through the debris field. If there was any chance to stop that ship, they had to do it without her, which was just as well. She wasn't leaving Cade. Rione had no idea how much time had passed. A half hour? An hour? Two? Whatever. It felt like a lifetime either way. Gek and his crew had made their way back to a war freighter hidden on the far side of the debris field and fled the system. Lessa, Nico, and Kip came at some point with a grav stretcher from the med bay. She stared at it, its presence bringing up the stark reality that she couldn't remain there forever, couldn't sit with Cade as long as she wanted, and soon she'd have to say goodbye. But this goodbye, oh, this one would be so very hard. Tears stung her eyes again, but she forced them down, along with the lump in her throat. Lessa knelt by Cade's side, her nose and eyes red from crying. Nico sank down beside his sister and put his arm around her. His eyes were rimmed with tears, old streaks dried on his young face. They mourned for Cade. It had never occurred to them that someone might die. Or maybe it had, but the idea had been just a faint shadow, a whisper, nothing more. Watching them grieve was another kind of pain Rione couldn't have prepared for. It wasn't supposed to end like this. Her personal demons and her search for answers weren't supposed to get anyone killed.
"Did you bring pain inhibitors?"
she asked Kip. He was quiet, head down, She couldn't see his face as he prepared the stretcher. He glanced over his shoulder, eyes haunted, and nodded, then rooted around in the bag sitting on the stretcher. He knelt next to her to administer the medication, but she took the syringe from him. "I'll do it. Just see to Kate." And then she injected the medication into her thigh, closing her eyes and counting down the seconds for the drug to flow and begin to mask her pain. Just enough time for the crew to move Cade onto the stretcher. Nico engaged the anti-gravity. Kip offered her a hand, and the kindness was more than she could take as the inhibitor washed over her, unlocking the tenuous control she had over her emotions. Guilt flowed in like a tsunami, and as she stared up at Kip and his outstretched hand, she felt weak for the first time in a long while. There was something in his eyes, a kind of understanding and a depth she hadn't seen before, as though he understood pain and grief on a deep and very personal level. He gestured once more, telling her to accept his help. And eventually, she did.
"Wait, where are you going?"
They all paused at the disembodied sound, the sheer desperation clear in the high-pitched tone. Rion had completely forgotten about the strange voice. It had gone silent when Cade died.
"If you must go, take me with you. I am here to assist reclaimers."
In a semi-drugged daze, Rion blew out a weary breath and told the crew to take Cade back to the ship. She watched them leave, and a bleak, withering darkness worked its way inside her, taking root, encompassing her emotions within a hard, bitter shell. Her grief must be contained, because she couldn't fall apart now or leave her ship and crew without a leader, without strength to lean on, or a sharp mind to get them home. She failed, Kate. God, how she failed. But it couldn't happen again. Her steps were slow and measured as she made her way to the console. Even with the meds, her back burned with harsh, unrelenting pain. She wiped the back of her forearm across her wet face, then rested both hands on the console and forced words from her exhausted body.
"All right, whatever you are, you have 5 minutes."
"I am," the voice began with pomp, and then stalled, as though forgetting its identity.
"I am the caretaker of this facility. I am..."
"You have returned."
"No." "Different."
"Ah,
yes. Reclaimer. I am here, trapped in this console, this chip. Just a little bit. I am a bit. I'm a little bit left over."
"You're a forerunner AI."
"Perhaps, yes. But alas, just a little bit."
It let out a strange metallic-sounding sigh.
"Fragmented. Name and designation lost. Little bit. Just a little bit left. Kept running. Kept jumping. Kept copying. Piece to piece. Bit to bit. You are a reclaimer. Not all is lost."
"A reclaimer?"
"Of course. I have held in trust all of it.
"The entire what? The entire planet? Is that what you mean?"
"No, not a planet. Not really, but yes, I think. Have you come for the ships?"
She thought of the wing they'd seen in the debris field.
"You mean Forerunner ships?" "All right, Yes. They are all around us. Bits and pieces. I'm sorry. I could not stop them. I had to jump. Kept jumping. Kept copying. Piece to piece. But wait. I remember. You did this.
At the change of his voice, Rion tensed. Did what exactly?
Destroyed. You destroyed. All of it.
No. We just arrived. We didn't destroy anything.
But I saw you. I saw your reclaimer ship. Shield at 15%. We should go. I must serve.
What ship?
UNSC-designated CFV-88 Phoenix-class colony ship. Spirit of Fire, of course. I seem to have misplaced some data. The copies, you see, so many copies. But this is remembered. This is the last thing. Last things are always remembered.
Traces of the absurd snaked through her drug-dulled mind. Laughter bubbled up, the dazed and ridiculous kind that came because she couldn't process anything else. She'd reached her limit. She'd come looking for that very ship, had followed a trail from the Roman Blue to the Radiant Perception, to the buoy, and now here to a forerunner AI that couldn't remember its name.
But it could remember the ship that had destroyed its world.
She'd achieved so much in such a short amount of time, and yet she felt farther away from her goals than ever. And did those goals even matter now?
I'm not certain this qualifies as humorous. Humor is defined as a mood or state of mind wherein one feels or expresses joy, elation, mirth, hilarity.
I know what humor is.
You are a reclaimer. It is my duty. My duty to wait on you. Or is it wait for you? I simply cannot tell the difference. Can you?
Not really. Rion wiped the tears from her eyes. So, you want off this rock?
Yes.
Fine, she said tiredly. Why the hell not?
One moment, please.
The console's light began to recede from the display and merge with the center dome. The dome slid back, revealing a chip with similar etchings as those on the console.
You may remove me now.
18. Ace of Spades. Debris field. Uncharted space. As soon as she was on board, Rion engaged the airlock and shuffled slowly up the stairs and down the narrow walk to the med bay, her inhibitor wearing thin. The crew would have used the service elevator to take Cade's body to the bay, and that bleak image filled her mind without mercy. Lessa was alone in the med bay, standing vigil, looking scared and stricken and so damn young, her arms hugging herself, unsure of what to do next. She glanced up, and Rion's heart gave a painful squeeze at the wide-eyed grief in the young woman's eyes.
What do we do?
Lessa asked, her lips wet with tears.
I don't know what to do.
Rion didn't want to see anyone. Nor did she feel like talking or comforting. And yet, that's exactly what she did. Lessa grabbed tightly onto her, and cried and shook. Her wild curly hair itched Rion's chin and smelled of sweat and old fear, a reminder of how frantic the girl must have been, flying solo, engaging a Covenant war freighter.
Hey, you did great today. You took care of Ace.
Lessa lifted her head slightly and stared over Rion's shoulder at Cade's body.
But not him. I didn't take care of him.
You didn't have to. That was my job. You did the best you could.
We all did. Right?
Tightness spread across Rion's chest, and she attempted a smile.
I'll see to him. Go get some rest. Check on your brother.
Rion waited until Lessa left the bay, then limped to the med cabinet and rooted inside for another shot of pain inhibitor. After the needle went in, she stayed bowed for a while before straightening and facing the stretcher. The only times she'd had to tend the dead in the past was when she helped Un prepare Berger, and then again when Un had died. She knew what to do. She'd just never thought she'd be doing it for one of her crew, much less Cade.
She went slowly, the time and focus on removing Cade's gear, cleaning him, and then retrieving his dress blues from his quarters was a ritual she desperately needed.
This was her farewell. She didn't speak a word, didn't shed a tear, didn't think of anything else but each small movement, each simple task, each tiny button.
She'd loved him.
And they'd been so damn stupid, so afraid of losing each other, that they'd kept their hearts distant and out of their relationship as much as they could. And now he was gone, leaving a deep well of regret. 2.5 hours later, he was ready. Breaking the solitude was difficult, but she hit the ship-wide calm. Les, take us to the Dwarf Star. She didn't need to say why, or issue any other instructions. They'd know. Once Ace was underway, Rion went to her quarters, stripped down, and stepped into the shower. When the first drops of water hit her skin, she stopped holding it all in. Guilt and regret were terrible weights, but she took them as her own, bore them hard on her shoulders, sinking to her knees, the water stinging and painful against her bruised back as she sobbed.
He's with his family now.
Hope and worry clung to Les's quiet statement.
He's got to be, right? There has to be more out there.
She glanced at Rion, then watched the personnel pod shoot into space on a trajectory aimed straight into the heart of the Dwarf Star.
Right?
Rion swallowed the lump in her throat. She thought of those she'd lost. Her grandfather, her Aunt Jillian, the Bergers. Dear God, she hoped there was more. Lacking a staunch religious belief, all she could do was hope.
Yeah.
I think he's finally home.
She turned for her chair and out of habit was about to issue flight orders to Cade.
Her eyes stung, but she stowed the grief.
Just get everyone home. Then you can fall apart.
Kip, spin up the FTL. We're getting out of here. With one last look at the pod, just a speck now against the backdrop of the star, Rion settled in and prepared to jump.
Cap? Kip said, frowning at his display. We're spinning up too fast. I don't know what's...
A familiar disembodied voice filtered through the bridge.
Apologies. That would be me, engineer.
Stunned, Rion began checking systems.
You're a chip, sitting on my desk in my quarters, she said calmly.
The thing shouldn't be talking to them. She hadn't inserted the chip into any of Ace's networks.
Most of me is, yes. But when you touched the pad on my console, I was able to ride a directed energy beam into your forearm unit. And now I've linked to your main data systems.
I have been assessing your systems and technologies, which were severely in need of service. This ship lacks any moderately intelligent construct, and your slipspace capabilities were positively ancient.
Were?
Oh, yes. I have made several adjustments to your drives and systems, particularly your navigational systems, mapping systems, communication systems, and your slipspace drives. You will see an increase in speed and precision. If you will but lend me your engineer to make physical modifications, I can increase that by orders of magnitude.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Nico was halfway out of his chair. This is an AI? Yes, I am. A little bit. Just a little bit. And you've been messing with my comms? Messing. I do not understand this. One moment. Ah, yes, messing. Yes, I have indeed messed with your comms. I am also able to streamline your energy output and stealth capabilities and rework your baffling engines to be more productive.
Rion had just been hanging on, maintaining her balance, and now a Forerunner AI had invaded her ship. She was tempted to put her head in her hands and give in to the weary, grief-stricken laughter that pushed at her chest. But she did neither of those things, because as surreal as the moment was, as unexpected and potentially disastrous, there was a very clear silver lining. Considering this silver lining was like teetering on the edge of a cliff, pretty sure you might be able to fly.
Is this a wise course of action, Cap? Kip asked, taking her silence as acceptance of the AI's invasion.
Of course it is wise. My purpose is to assist and monitor. I do not deviate. I cannot deviate. I do not infiltrate. I serve.
Offended, Nico opened his mouth to argue that point. Infiltrate was exactly what the AI had done, but Rion shook her head, telling him to stand down. The engines grew louder as Ace's FTL spun. They were preparing to enter slipspace at near light speed, and Rion felt like she was about to fall, because she knew once the words were out of her mouth, there was no going back, and everything was going to change. Again. A cold resolution settled in, hard and necessary. She did, in fact, have goals. She wanted revenge for Cade. She wanted answers. She wanted someone else to hurt for a change, to pay. Her father was still out there, and she wanted a goddamn happy ending. She wanted to win. The AI, even in its fragmented state, could help her do that. Do it.
Excellent. I shall start immediately. Entering slipspace now. Captain Forge.
Ahead, a portal ate a hole in space, widening, growing larger, brighter. The flash as they entered was blinding, the stars stretching for the briefest of moments, bleeding into nothing but darkness.
We shall arrive at Venezia in 60 of your Earth minutes.
Right, Nico said in disbelief. I'll believe it when I see it.
A fog seemed to fall over Rion, and the crew wasn't faring any better. They were exhausted and edgy. Shadows lurked under Nico's red eyes. Rion had worked him hard over the last few weeks, and now he had such tragedy to deal with. And Lessa, her usual happy demeanor was gone, and she seemed fragile and worn. Kip kept to himself. Rion had no idea how he fared, but every time their eyes met, she saw hurt and regret.
Everyone, take some time, she told them.
What about you?
Nico looked over his shoulder. A ghost of a smile thinned her lips.
I'll make sure our new AI is right, and we get back to Venezia in one piece. Of course I'm right, and not just a little bit. My calculations are correct. There would be no reason to.
Little bit, Rione cut in, pinching the bridge of her nose.
Yes, Captain Forge. Have you taken a look at our environmental systems?
Of course. I have modified the systems.
She rubbed her eyes as Little Bit kept speaking, and realized that trying to find something for a highly advanced ancient AI to do was just about pointless.
And once my chip has been inserted, I will be able to increase my presence.
19. Ace of Spades, 25,000 kilometers above Venezia, cab system. Rione stood at the observation window in Ace's lounge and stared at Venezia from 25,000 kilometers. They had indeed arrived in 60 minutes. The full realization of what the fragmented construct had been able to accomplish was astounding and frightening. She had a forerunner artificial intelligence in her possession, something that most interested parties would kill for. And in turn, the AI had in its possession first-hand information about the Spirit of Fire. As exciting as that should have been, it came in a package wrapped in gray and shadowed by death. Lessa's voice came over the comm.
Captain?
Go ahead.
Kathy from Venezia TC is asking if we want to secure our usual berth. It's available. Or you just want to hang in orbit for a while.
Secure the berth and request immediate medical assistance for Rom. As Ace received permission to enter the planet's airspace, Rione went to the bridge, relieved Lessa, and flew the ship in herself. Once they were docked, she released the airlocks and opened the cargo door. Lessa lingered on the bridge.
You coming?
You guys go on. I'll catch up with you later. They needed the time to deal with Cade's death, time to absorb what had happened, and grieve. Rione tried to find the words to explain her need for solitude, but Lessa, always gifted at reading others, simply stopped by her chair, put her hand on Rione's shoulder, and squeezed. After the crew had disembarked and Rom Chalva had been taken by medical personnel to the hospital in New Tyne, Rione went to her quarters, slid into her desk chair, and ran her hands over her face. Her back was killing her again. She'd need medical attention herself soon. But some things couldn't wait. She exhaled deeply, and then ripped the bandage off her past. If anything, it'd be a distraction from her grief.
You there, AI?
Little Bit?
I am here.
Mind if I call you that?
Little Bit?
I do not mind that colloquial designation if it suits your purpose. I myself cannot remember my original designation.
What happened to your facility?
Many things. Many things. Like many parts.
My recollection is spotty.
Start with the Spirit of Fire.
The Reclaimers. Yes. They came. Enemies to the Covenant. The Reclaimers destroyed the sphere.
Why would they do such a thing?
Why would you do such a thing?
I didn't. Rione assured it. Tell me about the Reclaimers.
They had an impressive AI on that ship, given their rudimentary technology, of course.
A little haughty for my tastes.
She was quick, and her calculations were very well composed.
They destroyed the sphere, destroyed all of our beautiful ships. The Spirit of Fire, aptly named. For that's all she brought to our sanctuary. Burned everything, and blew parts of me and my directive straight out. into the system. And the ship. What happened to the ship?
It... One moment. Yes, you call it Slingshot. It slung around our artificial sun and through the sphere. Left the system. They wouldn't have gotten far.
Why's that?
Because they used their slipspace drive to trigger a supernova and destroy the sanctuary. They lost the ability to access and navigate slipspace. Rion released a heavy breath. So they'd been truly lost. Do you have any images or feeds relating to the reclaimers?
Some, yes. From my feed at Relay 07756.
Play on screen, will you? A slideshow of scenes began to appear, most of them grainy and distant, showing Sangheili and even a lofty-looking Sanshayum. But they were just fragments, disjointed images that only told her the players, not the outcome. Then, startlingly, her father's image appeared.
Rion jerked as if shocked,
everything inside her stilled, as if moving or breathing might make the image fade. It was him, her dad, looking into a camera lens and pointing. He appeared to be smiling and in the middle of saying something.
How did you get this?
It was a simple matter to slip into their communications.
Do you have audio?
Static buzzed through the speakers on Rion's display. And then she heard it, his voice, as he leaned close to a camera.
Keep the coffee hot. I'll be back before you know it.
Tears blurred her vision, the image cut off, replaced by a chaotic battle scene. It took her a moment to understand what she was now seeing.
Are those? I believe you call them Spartans. The reclaimers referred to them as Red Team.
On the vid feed, three Spartans were taking on a group of Sangheili in close-quarter combat. At the bottom edge of the screen, Rion saw her father going in and out of frame as he too fought like hell. The feed suddenly gave way to lines of static, and Rion shot to her feet, ignoring the stab of pain in her back.
Wait, what happened?
At the time this was chronicled, I began moving critical systems and making copies of myself and sending them to every station on the sphere. They were going to destroy the sphere.
You keep saying sphere. You mean the planet, right?
No. It was but a construct, a sanctuary, a large artificial refuge, if you will. Pull up the shot before the battle, the one with the audio. The AI complied.
Freeze frame.
Again. It was him. John Forge. Her heart pounded slow and hard, and she felt a little sick as she slid back into her chair.
Were you able to track the spirit of fire before the sphere blew?
I only have its initial trajectory. They would have all gone into cryo, unless they found a planet, established a base camp, waited for rescue.
Scan this and nearby systems. Create a map and highlight planets or moons capable of supporting human life based on their trajectory. Also, can you tell me if there were any human casualties during the Reclaimer's fight with the Covenant?
I'm sorry. I do not possess that information. Map complete, Captain.
Rion sat back, amazed by the speed at which the AI worked, and studied the star map as it appeared, with systems and planets highlighted as possible destinations for the ship.
The idea that she might be looking at the Spirit of Fire's final home made her release a disbelieving laugh.
Captain, I really don't believe you understand the definition of humorous as I stated earlier. Shall I explain it again?
No, thank you.
I need you to communicate with Dr. Martoli in New Tyne. Tell him I need an appointment. Today.
Of course. I'll inquire now. Also, we should discuss your engineer.
Not now, she said tiredly, staring at the map and feeling like the odds were stacked against her. Maybe they always had been. Following that map required another leap of faith, another shot in the dark, another risk. Her gaze settled on the wall beyond the screen. On it was a painting Lessa had done during her first long-distance flight as an official crew member. There were also photographs, Lessa and Nico on sundown 6 months ago. A candid one of Cade during the same trip, looking over his shoulder, the sparkling blue water of the resort pool behind him. That wicked grin of his. He always called her lucky. Always with a shake of his head and a smile. Her heart tightened so hard and quick it left her gasping for air. She tore her gaze from the wall. Her lucky streak had cost Cade his life. Now he was gone. He'd made her think of possibilities, of a different life, a settled one. She could still have that. It wasn't too late. Yet those things seemed like a dream now. They were in direct opposition to her livelihood, her ongoing quest to find her father, and now her burning need to make Geklar pay. She wanted to rip those dog tags from the hinge head's shoulder and watch the light die in his one good eye. Losing Cade made her feel reckless and volatile with very little thought to her own preservation. But the opposite was true when it came to her crew. She had to be more cautious now, more aware of her responsibilities to them, more determined to keep them safe. They were, after all, her family. The Forerunner artifacts orbiting the dwarf star held a treasure trove of salvage, a sight that would feed the Ace of Spades crew over several lifetimes. With the money, Lessa and Nico could live out any dream they ever had, purchase a house, go to school, own a school for that matter. Kip could collect every ship he'd ever studied. Hell, he could buy a whole damn fleet if he wanted. The options were endless. They could have an amazing life. And that posed a problem, because Rione wanted that for them. But she also wanted more. She drummed her fingers on the table, eyeing the images on the wall and the star map in front of her. The salvage was out there. Cade's killer was out there. Her father and the spirit of fire were out there. She just had to decide where to start.
Halo, Smoke and Shadow was written by Kelly Gay and read by Scott Brick. Kamchatka, music from Halo 5 Guardians, was composed by Kazuma Jinouchi. The associate producer was Michael Noble. Editing and post-production by Fenn Eichner. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Halo, Smoke and Shadow is available in print from Gallery Books. Also from Simon & Schuster Audio, Halo, Last Light, written by Troy Denning and read by Scott Brick, and Halo, Fractures, Extraordinary Tales from the Halo Canon, read by Scott Brick.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.